four lines from the bottom. Umnotem with the chashin lechshat. So we started this yesterday. Chav Gimel and Aleph. How do I know that there's such a concept of being concerned for what people are going to say? And that's why when you have two doorways, you got a light in each one if they're on different sides because of the concern. People are going to see one door not lit. They're going to think the other door is also not lit. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon, Bishal Bar Dvarim Amr Teir Lahaniach Pei. It's a unique kind of Braisa because very rarely do you have Braisa telling you what is the mindset of the Torah in doing something. Normally, the Torah says, do it. We don't sit there and get into the thought process. Here, we get into the thought process. And the thought process, the issue is, why did the Torah say to leave the payah specifically at the end of the field? Okay, where pretty much everyone can see that it's the end of the field, and they know when it's coming. They know you're not here, there yet. You're still working in the middle. You're getting closer. Okay, we're 3 days away. We're 4 days away. Why do they do it that way? So, Bishul Abad Varm Omer Torah Laniach Peh Besov Sadeu. There are four reasons. Ne Gezel Aniyim, Ne Bitl Aniyim, Ne Hachshad. Ushum Baal Techalat. Okay, so there were four reasons. So let's finish up the Rashi's as we turn the page. Okay, well, they're all going to be explained. Let's start with the first one. That the balabai should not see an opportune time where nobody is around. Okay, so gezal niyim, the first one is that we learned this yesterday, is that people shouldn't say, or this guy should not take advantage of the fact that he can leave peah in the middle part of the field, see a time when the niyim not hanging out, they're not looking around, and he'll say, okay, this is peah, and he'll call. He'll call Uncle Irving, the Ani, and say, come, let's go grab your payah. Okay, that's reason number one. Okay, as we turn the page, reason number two, Nebit Laniyim, Shol Yoniyim, Yoshim Nisharim, Achshav Meneach Baal Bayis Payah. Chav Gimel, right there, he's showing you where Vahavman. The second reason is because Bitl Aniyim, that we don't want the Aniyim sitting around and watching, spending their whole day looking at Rabinowitz's field to say, when is he finally going to get, when is he finally going to say it's Peah? Because, now they don't have to wait around. They can see when you're getting to the corner, when you get to the end, you get to the end. It's very simple. But if you can make it earlier, then you're going to be draining a cup and spending a lot of time just looking at all these fields, waiting to see when they're going to designate it. Two lines from the top. Chav Gimel Mebeis. Okay, finger on the place. And we're doing the top Rashi now. They're not going to know when this guy is cutting the payah or leaving the payah. So we want to avoid that issue. And therefore the Torah came along and said, let us designate a one time where a set time where this is going to be, and that set time is when it gets to the corner. Number three is Mneach Shad, which is what we're talking about, why we brought this in, so that we see that there is such a concept of chashad. Back to the Gemara, Mneach Shad, third line from the top, Shloyu Avrim Vishavim Avrim Tavim Me'il Adam Shonyach Peah Besadeu. Okay, reason number three is because you don't want the suspicion if they're not going to see the end of the field, and they're going to not see when that he left pay. They're going to maybe suspect this guy of not leaving pay altogether. It's going to there's going to be an opportunity for a person to be cynical and say, Rabinowitz didn't leave anything altogether. Look at Rashi, Ne'achshad, Sha'ivim Royin Begmar Ketziro Shu Mechalas Hakol. They see that he finished it all, and he finished the job, and therefore Lo Yadu Shnasakvar. They will not know that he already gave. So they're going to say this was a scam. This guy didn't leave anything. The guy's a loser. Okay. So I don't know why aren't you concerned about the leket and shikha that way? But I guess that's a different issue here. There'd be one that everyone would know about. Okay, I'm not sure because
leket and shikha only if they happen. But yeah, but it's not until you have to do it.
Exactly.
Okay, but they do have, okay, because it's not automatic, so here, theoretically, I mean, it could not be, it doesn't have to exist. In other words, you're not going to say, where is it, because maybe it didn't happen. Okay, I hear, makes sense. So, yeah, but peah, where you have to leave over something, they're going to say, this guy didn't do it, and they're going to be choshed you. Okay, and they're going to say that a curse should come to anybody who doesn't do it. And finally, Mishum Bal Techala. Okay, the last one back in the Gemara is because of the Avera of Bal Techala. I mean, Avera of Bal Techala. All of these were Bal Techala. All of these were explaining what it is that you shouldn't, why it is that you should not be leaving over your peah earlier in the field as opposed to the corner of the field. So that's all part of the explanation. So what are you dafka talking about Bal Techala here all of a sudden? Is utter cool abishum Bal Techala nu? Aren't the other ones also because of Bal Techala? So I'm a Rav of Nei Aramayim. So Rav explains, no, what we mean is that they're going to be crooksters who attack are going to use this as an excuse. Just like people are going to accuse them of not, but people who actually, and when they actually did, they're people who will not and basically say, oh, I already gave. I gave in the office, right? Well, you know, or, so what do you mean you gave in the office? I was in the office. You didn't give, don't drain me a cup. So the same thing over here, look at Rashi. Otukulu. Oh, mishum lo techal, the mashmish shas kiloi. The pasuk of do not complete your field clearly tells you that it's at the time of completion that you must leave the peah. So Gemara says, well, you're quoting a pasuk only for the last one. Otukulu ani damer lo time lo chal kama farshay. Mashmish shas kiloi. What's the unique aspect of shas kiloi from all the other ones that are also part of the mindset of about the chal of explaining the pasuk of why you should not leave over. Not complete the field without leaving anything over. So what are you dafka quoting the pasuk now? So Gemara says, you're right. I don't mean to quote the pasuk per se. The tricksters and the crooks who are going to be using this as an excuse. So Avram Aloy Sechala, the Ramoim who want to be, who don't mind transgressing the Aveir of Lo Sechala, V'yayim Kfar Hinachnuah, they're going to say, we already gave. We already left over. So you're leaving this opportunity for them. So as a result, now we have the four different reasons as to why we should, why the Torah specifically wanted the peah to be at the very end of the field. And in bringing these four reasons, one of them is because of chashad, clearly indicating that chashad is indeed a valid concern in halacha. And even from the Torah's point of view, not just from the Rabbanan's point of view, but even from the Torah's point of view. Okay, back to the two dots. Okay, so about six lines down. Amar Yitzchak Bar Radifa Amar Vuna. Okay, not a common name. Amar Yitzchak Bar Radifa Amar Vuna. Near Shesha Shnei Pios Oyel Lebeis B'nei Adam. If you have a lamp that has two openings, two little mouths that the wick can go through, even though it's one long wick, since it appears as two separate wicks, and you have a person lighting one per person, so it can actually cover two people of the household. Amrav Amila Kara Shemen. So Rava adds, if a person filled up the plate with oil, the kifa psilos, and he surrounded them with wicks, kofaleim kli, if he covered them with a kli, oil lekamere adam. So a lot of people can use that because each one comes out separately, and they appear like many different flames. And if each flame can cover one person of the household, so you can cover many people with one plate of oil. However, like if you didn't cover it with a plate, okay, with a covering, also kim in madur, then all those wicks become like one big torch. And we said you can't even cover one person, because we don't want you lighting for a Madura, you have to light in there, and therefore you're not biyotze altogether. So it's almost like all or nothing in this situation. You got to keep the wick separate, otherwise it could be a problem. And if they talk to say, if you keep them separate, then it would really be good. You know, if there's no covering, it really depends on how it looks and how it appears. Let's see Rashi. Shtei piyos. The lamps that used to have were made out of earthenware. They were covered. And they would make a hole in the side of the covering to put the wick into. That's called the mouth. And up higher up on in the covering, Yeshnek of Cotton, there is a small hole, Vagam Cholo Yeshomail Menakisui. Okay, there's also another bigger opening on top, higher than that from the covering, Umala Shemen, and that's where they would fill it up with oil. Vunichnas Derech Hanekev, Mat, he would put the oil through the Nekev a little at a time. And if there are two holes from two sides, where they would make the holes where the wicks would go through, and that would be able to cover two different people. L'mahadrin. Who is that for? For Mahadrin, ha'isin ner l'chol echad v'yechad. Remember we learned earlier that the Mahadrin would have one light for each person. Mahadrin min Mahadrin would be one additional light every single night if you're into Beis Hillel. Or down, if you go down into Beis Shammai. But if you're just Mahadrin, it's every person in the household lights one. So here you have two holes, two people can light, and you're good to go. On the other hand, if you didn't have the covering, then it's Osa Kemedura. If you put all around, then you have, it'll be like a flame, like a... what?
A torch,
yeah. Sha'esh mischaberes lemsioso, because the fire joins in the middle. It's not similar to an air. We said it's got to be an air. It can't be a Madura. That's not the rules of the of Hanukkah. Okay, fine. So we did that. You got to be careful. And now we're ready to go Vaita. Amar Rava. Back to the Gemara. Two dots. Amar Rava. Pshitali ner beisai v'ner Hanukkah. It's simple to me when a person has a choice between the light of his Shabbos candles or the torch or the flame of the Hanukkah. So which one should you light, the Shabbos lights or the Hanukkah lights? Which one's more important? Ner beisai adav. So between the two, you got to light Shabbos candles. Why? Bishim sholom beisai. Because when it comes to Shabbos, it's about sholom bayis. And nothing could be more important than sholom bayis.
Why is this for sholom bayis?
What?
Why is this for sholom bayis?
That you can see, that you can have, you don't bump into things, you don't say, you know, if you're bumping into things and it's dark and you're aggravated and you're annoyed, you're going to lash out. You're not going to be a happy camper. Okay, so we like happy campers because the wives always get the butt of the problems when they're unhappy campers. Ner beisoy v'kiddush hayoyim. Okay, if it's a choice between the Shabbos candles and kiddush, again ner beisoy adav, between kiddush and between Shabbos candles, you can only afford one. Imagine this is the way things were. Sometimes you just push it, couldn't afford both. Again, ner beisoy adav mishum shalom beisoy. Same idea. Shalom beisoy is more important than Kiddush Hayom, even though it's very interesting that Kiddush Hayom is a deraisa, okay, but I guess you can be yotza mideraisa just with saying the words without the wine being drabonon, so I guess that's where you have room to maneuver. Okay, those two are no-brainers. Those two I have no shilas about. What I do have a shilas about, Gzuntait, by Rav Aner Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayom Mahu. Okay, my shilas is between Chanukah and between Kiddush. Which one is more important? Kiddush Yom Adifa the Tadir. Do you say that the Kiddush is more important because it's more consistent? Or is the Ner Chanukah more important because of the Pesum Anisa issue and therefore that comes first? So which one is it? Which one has priority? If you can only afford one, which one should you buy? So Basta Di Boy Hada Pashta, after the Shaila came about, he then resolved it on his own. Ner Chanukah Adif, Mishum Pesum Anisa. Ner Chanukah is more important because Pesum Anisa trumps Kiddush Hayom. Okay, let's see here. Look at Rashi. Ner Beisav Ner Chanukah, Ner Beisav B'Shabbos. He wants a light on Shabbos, and he's a poor person. I don't have enough oil for two lights. So Pasha, I only have enough mamish to light just for either Shabbos or for Chanukah. Which one should I do? Shalom Beisel. V'achemin l'kamon, v'tiznach mishalom nafshi, zu adlokas ner Shabbos. Shabbos Beisel mitzar and leisha b'choshech. Okay, so here you have it, Mr. Reitschik. It's painful to sit in the dark. Okay, it's just not, it's not comfortable.
I want to, assuming that this person also has money, though, enough to buy bread, so they can make the motzi and kiddush on the challah, or there's no kiddush at all.
Well, again, I as I mentioned before, kiddush, you could be yotze midoraisa with kiddush by simply saying kiddush. So the wine or the bread is really rabbinic in nature, so the word doesn't get into it, but that could be. You know, we're not dealing with the deraisa dik issue, because you can just say kiddush. When we say kiddush in shul, technically that is kiddush on a deraisa dik level. The wine is rabbinic, so it's on the same footing. Okay.
How would you say kiddush without a wine?
Vaychulu. You say vaychulu. You said kiddush. Technically, okay. The kiddush we make on wine is rabbinic. Okay, the kiddush hayoyim technically could be just vaychulu, would be kiddush deraisa. That famous question they ask is how come the husband, you know, if you said vaychulu in shul and you yotza kiddush, and what do you, how could you be yotza your wife who has a deraisa dikachiv and you already only have a rabbanan dikachiv? Famous question. Okay, a lot of approaches. Fine. Let's go weiter. So Amar Rav Huna, back to the Gemara. So now a little I got it to here, just to take a little break. Amar Rav Huna, Haragul b'ner havayin l'bonim tamid acham. So you can see why this Agadah fits into this Gemara. A person is very ragul in there. If you have your Shabbos candles consistently, and you have your Hanukkah candles consistently, he says, Haragul b'ner havayin l'bonim tamid acham. Then you're going to be zeicha to having sons. You bring light into the world, and the Torah is light into the world, and you're going to be zocha to near mitzvah Torah, or you're going to be zocha to son to a Talmidei Chachamim. Hazor b'mezuzah zeich l'dir not. You put up a nice mezuzah, you zeich to a nice house. Hazor b'tzitzah zeich l'talis. If you zoya in the mitzvah tzitzah, you zeich to a nice suit. L'talis not. Hazor b'kiddush hayoyim, if you zohir in making kiddush with wine, zoichu male gar v'yayin, you will have barrels of wine or an unlimited supply of bar tenura, you know, waiting for you. Okay, let's catch up on the Rashi's here. Banim tamid chachamim, right? Diksiv kiner mitzvah tor'or. Okay, because it says, mitzvah is the lamp, Torah is the light, aydei ner mitzvah, the Shabbos v'chanukah bo or the Torah. As through the mitzvah of the ner of Shabbos and Chanukah comes the or of Torah, so you see the two are directly related, and therefore, if you are makbid on those things, you'll be zochev tamid chachamim for sons. Okay, that's vayter. Okay, let's go, only one Rashi, let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Huna v'rogil v'chalif v'tanya pischa de Avin Nagra. Okay, Rav Huna would consistently go by the doorway of Rabbi Avin the carpenter. Okay, some of these, a lot of them had regular jobs. Chazed v'rogil b'sharge tuva. So he saw that he was always had a lot of lights going, of, you know, Shabbos candles. He was very makbid on that. There was never an issue with him having the lights for Shabbos properly put up in terms of the Shabbos flames. So Amar Trey Gavrei Ravri Nafke Mehacha. So he saw that he was makbid on the Shabbos and the Chanukah. He said, two great people are going to come out of this house. And sure enough, Nafke Minayu, Ravidi Baravin and Rav Chia Baravin. So Ravidi Baravin and Rav Chia Baravin came from the efforts of Rabbi Avin Nagra. Okay, so, and we're much wiser and richer for that. Weiter, Rav Chizda v'ragel d'avicholif v'tonia pischa d'beinosa. So Rav Chizda would consistently go by the doorway a pisk the beinosed of Shizvi. He would go by the doorway of the father or father-in-law of Rav Shizvi. He would pass by on a regular basis. He saw again, he had always a lot of candles, a lot of lights, Shabbos, Hanukkah. This guy was on the mark. He was always doing things right. Amma, he would say, Gavar Rabba Nafik Mehocha. A great person is going to come out of this house. And sure enough, Nafik Minayu, Rav Shizvi. And Rav Shizvi came out of it based on, it was either his son-in-law Rav Shizvi or his son Rav Shizvi. So again, the bracha certainly came true. Look at Rashi. Reb Avin Nagra Charash Eitzim. He would form wood. He would shape wood. He would cut wood. Bisharga de Shabbos. He was makbid on the candles of Shabbos. Chol v'tani Oiver v'shana. Claim Oiver Tamid. So it's a Chol v'tani is the expression of a consistently passing by. That was his regular walk. He'd walk that daily walk and pass by the house all the time and constantly see these. And I guess obviously it was the key times with Shabbos and Hanukkah. We're not talking about a Wednesday morning here, but he would have the Shabbos candles in the right time. The Bein Nasa is Aviv Vikadam Rechamav. Either was a father or a father-in-law. So Navik Minayu, the Chosno Kibino. So it went out from him, Rav Shizvi, because his son-in-law is like his son. Okay, so does that make a father like a father? Interesting. Right, so the son-in-law was like his son, and therefore, whether you learn it was the son and is part of the whole concept that if you makbid on the Shabbos and the Chanukah lights, you're going to be zochet tamid chachamim, who are sons, it fits as well because the son-in-law is the same as the son. Okay, back to the Gemara. Divisadur of Yosef have a ma'achru madlekesla. So the wife of Rav Yosef would wait mamish till the very last minute, till before she would light the Shabbos candles. Ma'achromad like this, ner shel Shabbos samuch ha'sheicha. So she would wait, because after all, Shabbos has to be, you have to light the candle before Shkia. So she wait, 5 minutes before Shkia, whatever it was, close to Shkia. A little bit, maybe too close for comfort, but that's what she would do. So we can't relate to anybody doing anything right, last minute till Shabbos, right before Shabbos, unheard of concept. So Amalei Rav Yosef, Tanya, Rav Yosef says to her, there's no reason for you to do that. It says in the Braisa, Lo yomush amuda anon yoimam v'amuda eish laila. So there was no, the never left, the amuda anon did never left the daytime, and the pillar of fire at night. So the two never left each other. So you learn that from this pasuk. What's this pasuk teaching me? So it teaches us that the day cloud would complete the pillar of the fire, and the fire would complete the cloud, meaning that they would sort of pass each other. During transition time, they would sort of cover each other. And as the cloud was leaving, the fire would be coming. Sounds like the fire came a little bit earlier to make sure that there was no point in time that the Jews would be without one or the other. So, Mulamed, basically the message was, there's no need. I know you're thinking that you want to do it late, so it should be clear that it's Shabbos, but everyone knows, just like over here, everyone knows that it'll be for Shabbos. So, you can make it a little bit earlier, dear wife, and nothing is a problem. So, Sarva Lagdume. So, she thought, okay, let me make it much earlier. So, let me already light almost the middle of the day. So Amalei Husaba, there was an elder person who says to her, Tanina Uvat Shal Yaktim of Shoyacher. Just, okay, you have to make sure that you don't make it too early or too late. So yes, earlier is better, but not too early, because otherwise it's not going to be clear that you're doing it for Shabbos. And if you light before Plag Mincha, it doesn't even count. You have to light again. Let's see Rashi. So lo yomush kro yiseru. This is an extra pasuk, lach drasha, for this drasha. Daksiv Hashem holach neim yomim. It says Hashem went in front of them during the day. So I already know that they had this cloud and this fire. So what do you need this extra pasuk for? So teach me. Amuna anon shayoy mashlim oire laamud haesh. Shahaya amud eish ba kaidem shishka amud anon. Because the Amud Anan of the of the day would complete the oro of the Amud Eish at night. She Amud Eish Bo Kodem Shishka Amud Onan, because the fire would come before the cloud would subside and leave and set. Alma Irach Arabachi. That means the normal way is to do it slightly before. You don't, you know, leave a gap. You don't just wait for the very last second and then boom, like a 1 second transition. You come a bit earlier and you wait for the other person to leave. That's the way it should be done. So therefore she thought, okay, if my husband tells me I can make it earlier, Sorolak Dume Boida Yom Gadol, Rashi says, let me make it when it's like really daytime. So let me make it real early. So the old person says, you got to be careful, you can't do it too early, because then already, that's not good. Okay, back to the Gemara, moving right along. So Amar Rava, okay? So Rava says like this, Derachim Rabbanon, Hevelei Bonim Rabbanon. If a person who has love of the Rabbanon, okay, Rachim says, Rashi says, oh, actually, I'm sorry, there's a couple of Rashi we didn't do. So, Tanina Shon Ani, I learned Shal Yakdim, Deloy Minkra Shishal Shabbos. You can't make it too much earlier, because then it will not be clear that it's Shabbos, and that's what the old man told him that I learned. I learned this, I guess, and maybe I received it as a price, I'm not sure, because he was, clearly, Rav Yosef was in the time of the Amoraim, not in the time of the Tanoim. Okay, so maybe I learned from Rebbeim, maybe. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. Amrava derachim rabbanav banin rabbanav. If you love rabbis, you will have children who are rabbis. The maker rabbanav. If you value rabbis, you respect rabbis. Heavily chas nevasa rabbanan. And you'll have son-in-laws who are tamid chacham. Okay, the dachum rabbanan. If you are fearful, if you have awe of rabbanan, who gufev etzur rabbanan, then you yourself become a tamid chacham. If you love barachi, but if it's really not in the cards for you to become a Talmud Chacham, Mishtama Milei Kitzur Rabbanon. Well, then your words will be heard like you're a Talmud Chacham. Because you see, there are political people in the world that the rabbis listen to them. They've got a lot of clout. So even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you can still have that kind of respect within the community. They listen to you like you were a Talmud Chacham. That depends on how much time you have to be able to learn. Lati Rashi, the Rachim Oyev. If you love a Talmud Chacham, you will have sons with Talmud Chacham. Have you like Banim Rabbanon, Vavasoi Aleihem Kaval Ben. Right, and your love on them is like the father to a son. So I guess that's the comparison. If you love the Torah like you love a son, well then you'll have that Torah be transmitted to the son, and he will be zochah to be a Talmud. You'll be zochah to have him as a Talmud Chacham. Vilav Barachi. But let's say that person who fears Torah is not a Barachi. What does it mean not to be a Barachi? She'eino rogil lasik b'Torah. Okay, it's interesting. You know, you'd say he doesn't have the kishrin. The Torah doesn't, Rashi doesn't say he doesn't have the head for it. You know, some people say I don't have the head to be a Talmud Chacham. That's not the pshat. Maybe because who says you don't have the head? You don't know, but you're not rugged. You know, that's not my schedule. My schedule is not that I don't have time to learn out of the Torah. I got to do other things, but it means you might be right that you don't have the time. You might be justified not having the time, but instead you have your words heard like a Talmud Chacham. So you can still have bizocha to something special. Okay, sidetracked situation. Now we're back. So back to where we started from with the Mishnah. You cannot burn for Shabbos when you don't want to light the Shabbos candles or the Shabbos light. You cannot burn Shemen Sreifa. What's Shemen Sreifa? Tamidika oil. What kind of Tamidika are we talking about? So my Shemen Sreifa, the Gemara says, what does it mean, Shemen Sreifa? So Marabba Shemen Shel Truma Shinitma. It's referring to oil of Truma that became Tame. That's Shemen Sreifa. Oil that should be burnt, because we had already learned that once Truma becomes Tame, you are allowed to have benefit from it, but not through eating it, but through burning it. But my call is Shemen Sreifa. Why is it called Shemen Sreifa? Hoyulu Sreifa Oimei. The reason why it's called Shemen Sreifa is because it's fit and it's designated for burning. That's what you're supposed to do. And the only thing left to do with Shemen a tumah that became tame, a truma that became tame is to burn it. V'shabbos my time aloy. So what's the problem? Okay, if you're allowed to burn it, so why can't you why can't you burn it for Shabbos candles? What's the problem? Everything should be fine. It's meant for burning, and it burns very nicely. It's real olive oil. So what's the problem? We Shabbos my time alone. We talk shemitzvah love levaro, because since it's a mitzvah to actually burn it, right? That's what you're supposed to do. As opposed to eating it, you have to get rid of it by burning it. Gzeira shemiyata. We're afraid that in the haste of fulfilling the mitzvah, it might come to lean the oil in a way where it'll burn a little faster, and you'll tilt it over and create that process, which of course is prohibited on Shabbos. Morris says, is that really okay? Is that really the pshat? Only Abaye El Miata. If that's true, that you're only concerned, and the reason why you can't use Shemen Sreifa is because of the fact you might actually burn it on Shabbos by tilting the lamp. Only Abaye El Miata Yontif Lishtri, right? Are you allowed to tilt the lamp on Yontif to get more light? Is burning fire on Yontif Mutter? And the answer, of course, is yes. Okay, you're allowed to. Okay, for things that you need Yontif for, then you're allowed to. You're allowed to burn. You're allowed to cook. Havar is not a problem. He says, El Miata Biyantiv Lishtri. Alam Matanan, yet it says in the Mishnah, Eimad Likim Shem Esreifa Biyantiv. Okay, so what's the deal? Why are you not allowed to burn the Truma, the Tamadika Truma on Yantiv? If the whole concern is Shemayata, then there's no problem with Shemayata on Yantiv. He says, and the answer is, Gzeri Yontif Atu Shabbos. Because I'm afraid that Yontif, if I allow you to do it on Yontif, I allow you to do it on Shabbos. If I allow you to do it on Shabbos, you're going to come to lean and tilt the lamp. Hi, doesn't it sound like Gzeri will Gzeri? Tosis asks. So what's, why are you all of a sudden, why are you being concerned here? So Tosis says that's really one Shabbos Yontif. It's one big Gzeri of lighting, and it's all like under one banner, and therefore it's sort of considered one. Shabbos Yontif is not considered two separate things. Let's catch up on the Rashi's here for a minute. Well, the Sreif Omeid, Sh'asr Ba'achila. Okay, so it's Asr, we know that Shuma that became contaminated, it became Tomei, cannot be eaten, but it can be burnt. So since Shemitzvah Lolovaro, okay, since it's a mitzvah to burn it, you're doing the right thing because you're not leaving it around to be dim osi beiludeta kol da'achila. Right? Why is it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah because if you keep trum around, that's tamei, there's a good chance some kohen is going to come by, think that it's okay, and have the cornflakes for breakfast, and you're not allowed to. Okay, tamei truma that became tamei to get cornflakes, that's truma, is not acceptable. Therefore, when you're burning it, you are fulfilling the mandate of not leaving it susceptible to a problem. So since it's a mitzvah shemayate, there is a motivation to get this thing burnt quickly to make sure you don't fall into the trap, so you might end up doing that on Shabbos. So if that's the case, why are you prohibited to do that on Yontif? Beyontiv, next Rashi, where there's no concern for tilting it, Lishtri, let's make it mutter. What's the problem? Okay, and the answer is because you might come to do it on Shabbos. Gzeira Yontiv Atu Shabbos. Okay, back to the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. Rav Chizda Omar Lishema Yata Loi Chashinon. Rav Chizda says, no, I don't buy your pshat. I'm not concerned of the Shema Yata business. You might come to tilt it. You're not going to come to tilt it. It's not, what's a big motivator? It's not a big motivator altogether. It burns nicely. You know, there's no reason. It's not like any of these other, again, this is not bad oil that became Tomei. This is Shemen Zayis that became Tomei. So what are you worried about? So the idea of you, because of the motivation of the zeal to burn it quickly, I'm not concerned. So what is the issue? Rather, the deal here, we're talking about Yontif that fell on Erev Shabbos. So Yontif fell on Erev Shabbos. So Lefisha Ein Sarfin Kachin B'Yontif. So this is a specific case where when the Mishnah says you can't burn Shemen, you can't burn Shemen Sreifa, it's referring specifically to Yontif, which is Erev Shabbos. And the reason why on the Erev Shabbos you can't is because we have a rule, you can't burn you can't burn Kachim on Yontif. Okay? Which we'll learn about as a separate concept. You're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yontif. So in this scenario, that Erev Shabbos falls out on Yontif, and if we're going to allow you to use Shemen Sreifa on this day, then you're going to be going against Halacha. So it seems like it's a very specific concern. It's not like you can't burn it any time. You can't burn it on Erev Shabbos when Erev Shabbos is Yontif. Mar says, really? Okay, Vamilitani Sefer Eimad Likim Shemen Sreifa B'Yontif. But since it says later on, in the later Mishnah, that you cannot burn Shemen Sreif on Yontif, Michal the Reish Alav B'Yontif Askinon. Sounds like all the other, the case earlier was not talking about Yontif. This seems like a new case. That if you have Shemen Sreif on Yontif, I want you to know you can't burn it. Mashma, that earlier, when we said about not burning Shemen Sreif on Erev Shabbos, was not talking about Yontif. We're only bringing in Yontif now. So it seems like it's a little bit, you know, a little bit kikvetched. How could you talk about Yontif being part of the first Mishnah when Yontif seemed to be introduced only in the second Mishnah? So Rav Chanina Misura Matam Komar. So Rav Chanina from Sura says you have to read the Mishnah as a Matam, which gets injected. We do this fairly often in Shas, where we, in order to have a smooth reading, we put a little bit of a salt and pepper into the Mishnah as to what the Mishnah really means. It's a what is the reason kind of Mishnah, meaning to say, Ma tam emalikim shemen sreifa yontif. Why is it that I, in the first Mishnah, just told you can't burn shemen sreifa on yontif, fish ain't start from kotsha be yontif, because. Okay, what's the reason why you can't burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontif? Because you can't burn Kachim on Yontif. Again, say it again.
In the Mishnah, it said oil that has to be destroyed by burning, you can't use for, like I said, for lighting Shabbos.
Right.
So, would that be the reason here?
Well, yeah, but. No, but the point is. No, but if it's. But you're learning. If it's meant to be burnt, then you're doing exactly what should be done with it. That's the kasha. Why should you not burn truma that's tamei for Erev Shabbos if that's exactly what we want you to do with the truma tamei? So
it says you can't use that oil for Shabbos candles.
And why? We want to know why. That's tomorrow's whole question. Why does it say Ein Sarfin b'shemen sreifa? That's exactly what we want to know. So the first answer was because we're afraid of shemayata. The second answer was no.
That makes no sense because that's true for any shemen.
No, but it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to burn it. So in the zeal to fulfill the mitzvah, you're going to come to lean it. Okay, but we didn't. The Rav Chizkiya didn't like that pshat. Then we come up with the second pshat. Okay, he's now much happier. Okay, so now we're, so Rav Chizkiya came with a second reason. The second reason was the reason that this is just really about. This is just about Erev Yontif. Erev Shabbos, which falls out on Yontif, and you can't burn, and we have a rule, Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif. Okay, so again, so let me just, let's just read that one more time. Since it says in the Sefer, you can't burn Shemen Sreifa B'Yontif, B'chad Reisha La B'Yontif Askin. It sounds like in the Reisha, we're not talking about Shemen Sreifa. So Rav Chanina Misura Matam Koma. This is a little confusing because it doesn't sound like the Matam is going back to the first Mishnah. Matam Ema Likim Shemen Sreifa Biyantiv Vishain Sarfim Kotsha Biyantiv. So the Mishnah is giving you a reason. Let's see Rashi here. I'm still not really clear about this. And this Matam is not really doesn't seem like it's going back on the first Mishnah, which is what you really should be going back on. Let's see Rashi. Be'erev Shabbos Vutzorch LaHadlikim Mibo Jom. Right now, you know you have to light candles, not on Shabbos, of course, you have to light candles, Erev Shabbos. Now, Erev Shabbos on this particular weekend is Yontif. So what's the problem? Nimso Sarif Kachim Yontif. Okay, it comes out that you're going to be burning Kachim on Yontif. Well, come and Pirik and Yalfina Mikrod, Ain Sarfin. And later on in the Pirik, we learn out that you do not burn Kachim on Yontif. Okay.
That's wrong, isn't it?
It's for Shabbos also. No, Erev Shabbos you would be allowed to, but if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, since you have an overriding rule, again, this is a little confusing because of the fact that this is like coming out of left field. We have a separate rule. Ein Sarfin Kutchin Kutchim B'Yontif. So if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, if you're going to use Shemen Shreifa, you're right. Every Erev Shabbos all year long, go ahead. Burning Tshuma is not a problem. But when you'll have Erev Shabbos fall out on Yontif, that's when you cannot burn Shemen Shreifa because of the fact that you're not allowed to burn Kutchim on Yontif. And if today is Yontif, then you're going to run into this problem. Okay, I still don't really have a good handle. We just finished asking a question. Okay, that seems to imply that in the first Mish, it's not about Yontif, it's about regular Shabbos. So Rochina Misri Matam Komar. It's going into Matam. Matam Emaliga Mishem and Seif Beyontif, Vish Ain't Servant Kacha Beyontif. Okay, somehow, I don't know, that's sort of, okay, I'm not sure. I just don't see how this Matam is illuminating the first Mishnah of, because the first question was, it sounded like the first Mishnah is not talking about Yontif, because the next Mishnah is talking about Yontif. So, I guess you have to read it. Why, should have said, why can't you? Why can't you do it on Yontif and Erev Shabbos? Okay, maybe that's what it means. Why can't you burn Treifa on Yontif, which is Erev Shabbos? Because you can't burn Truma, and or you can't burn Kutchim in general. Okay, little cloudy. Let's just read the next thing, and maybe it'll become a little bit clearer. Tani Kavaseder of Chizda. We have a Brice that supports Rav Chizda. Kol Elu Shomru Ema Likim Em Shabbos. All of these cases which we said you cannot light on Shabbos, Matlikim Ben Yontif, you are allowed to light on Yontif Chutz B'Shemen Sreifa, except for Shemen Sreifa. Why? V'she'ein Sarfen Kutchim B'Yontif. Because you're not allowed to burn Kutchim B'Yontif. Okay, so that's not the way it means. It doesn't really sound that way, but this, Bryce, the Taka does make it clear. It's a Matam. The next Mishnah is casting light, okay, on the first Mishnah. You want to know why I just told you can't burn Shemen Sreifa on Erev Shabbos, which falls on Yontif, because we have a general rule, you're not allowed to burn Kutchim on Yontif.